would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist meeting.
Oh, right.
Yes. And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade. It was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full two-week period of sustained propaganda.
You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at five.
Ron Paul, Dr. Ron Paul, talking about the fact that we should abolish the World Economic Forum. It has been given, as of last year, UN authority co-equal to the UN. Of course, the UN's a fraud itself. And it is standardizing with the Communist Chinese and others, I have the articles right here, a global ID to implement the global cashless society, central bank digital currencies. The EU has passed it. China already has it in place. Australia is trying to force it through. New Zealand's trying to force it through. Canada's trying to force it through. Trudeau has partnered with the UN to bring it into Canada. This is not something that's coming. It's here, and it is legalized surveillance, everything you do, and they can program and control everything you do.
Here we are. They can. Okay, good morning, everybody. Grant Edwards here with you until 7 o'clock this morning. It's 7 minutes past five. Hope you're having a great morning. Good early morning start. Well, check out the weather first of all and see what's happening for the boaties that are out heading out. First of all, the coastal situation. A front impacts the South Island through today and Wednesday, associated with the strong northerly winds and heavy rain. Meanwhile, a series of lows develop on the front, and the system affects the entire country on Thursday. The frontal system moves to the east on Friday, while a low slowly moves northwestwards up the west coast to the southern and central parts of New Zealand. The Bay of Islands, the marine forecast for is a northeasterly swell, a northeasterly swell of 1 metre. Northeast 15 knots, rising to 20 knots this evening. Seas becoming moderate this evening. Cloudy periods with a few showers developing. Poor visibility and showers from this afternoon. And on Wednesday, tomorrow, northeasterly 20 knots, gusting 25, showers with easterlies of 1 metre. Looking at Wellington now, and Hawke's Bay, and today northerly is 10 knots, but 15 knots east of Wairoa and to Napier, rising to northeast 15 knots, but 20 knots in the east this afternoon, becoming northerly 15 knots everywhere this evening. Seas becoming moderate for a time in the east this afternoon. Mainly fine weather though, an easterly swell of 1 metre, easing to half a metre, and a southerly swell of 1 metre east of Cape Kidnappers and Mohaka. Tomorrow, northerlies 15 knots, fine weather with a southerly swell of 1 metre from Cape Kidnappers to Mohaka, easing to half a metre with an easterly swell of a metre. And now to Wellington, northerlies today. For the good folk in Wellington, 10 knots, but 15 knots about the south coast, rising to northerly 20 knots everywhere in the morning. Seas becoming moderate this morning, partly cloudy for the south coast and Palliser Bay. You can expect a 1 metre swell there. For Castle Point, southerlies, you've got a southerly swell of 1 metre and an easterly swell of a metre as well, joining. And tomorrow, northerlies 20 knots, rising to 25 knots for a time in the morning. Cloudy periods for the south coast and Palliser Bay. A southerly swell of 1 metre, easing to half a metre. For Castle Point, northeast swell of 1 metre, and a southerly swell of 1 metre, easing to half a metre. For Christchurch, variable 5 knots, northerlies 15 knots developing this morning, rising to 20 knots for a time this afternoon and early evening. A sea's becoming moderate for a time this afternoon and early evening. Fine weather, but becoming cloudy. A chance for the odd spot of rain from this afternoon with a north easterly swell. We'll look at the short forecast at 7 o'clock for the whole country. But in the meantime, we've got an interesting morning for you. We'll hear from Dr. Guy Hatchart, and we'll also hear from Dr. Sam Bailey as well, coming up here on the Wireless 88.1 FM.
Life is so difficult and challenging that unless you give it everything you have, the chances are very high that it will embitter you, and then you'll be a force for darkness and not good. You know, the fact that life is short and can be brutal can terrify you into hiding and avoiding, but it can also, you can flip that on its head and understand that since you're all in anyways, take the risks that are adventurous. And that's a very good thing to understand. And what is also useful to understand in that manner is that there isn't anything more adventurous than the truth. This is something that took me a long time to figure out.
88.1 FM, The Wireless, New Zealand News.
Right, New Zealand News, and can you turn that down, Digger?
Yeah, sorry. I can't find the panel. Just a minute. Can't find the panel. There you go. All right, there we are. Sorry about that.
Right, you're not on the ball this morning. It was me yesterday that wasn't on the ball. I think I said that the post was in Dunedin. It's certainly not. It's Wellington. But we're in the South Island today, and we'll start off with the Otago Daily Times. And the heading there, biofuel seen as a way to boost New Zealand's resilience versus catastrophes. Biofuel, no, that's just another way of wrecking the food crops, actually. They shouldn't be using food crops for biofuel. That's not good. We've got plenty of diesel, mate. We've got plenty of petrol in the ground, oil in the ground. We don't need biofuel. There's nothing wrong with making biofuel out of waste oil, I think, but to use crops for fuel instead of for food is a very bad way to go. Sovereign citizen, he broke the shoulder blade resisting arrest. Sovereign citizen Megan Dale Gordon, who ended up in prison last month for accusing a judge of lying, has been fined a total of $1,500 for matters linked to her driving through a police cordon. And a man burned down his ex-partner's home over a suspected love affair. I don't know about love, but certainly an affair. The man who was convicted of, he was convinced that his former partner was having an affair, ended up burning down her rental house after dragging a mattress outside and setting it ablaze. And then he started another fire inside the house. Government sets out 9 targets for the next 6 years. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has announced 9 targets for the government to deliver over the next 5 or 6 years. Our job loss is likely at the Ministry for Environment. Hundreds of workers will leave the Ministry of Environment as part of the cost-cutting measures, the Pacific Service Association says yesterday. And an absolute dive. Residents described the escape from the blaze. The guest house in Auckland, Backpackers in Parnell, says he had to scramble out the window of his with his bags as it burned. Oh, well, you do. When they're on fire, you get out, don't you? Yes. A bashed petrol station attendant filmed by attackers. A Seoul-charged Christchurch petrol station attendant bashed during an aggravated robbery was filmed by one of the 3 assailants as he was being assaulted. Emergency fundraising drive. So they're filming it. I suppose they're doing it for the gangs, aren't they? The young ones doing it for the gangs, and they've got to sort of have evidence that they're bad people so they can get their patch, which Mitchell's going to ban. Just fix the crime, Mr. Mitchell, the Minister of Police. Just fix the crime. Don't worry about what people are wearing. Star Jam, the charity dedicated to empowering young people with disabilities through music and dance, will remain open thanks to the success of an emergency appeal. Science settled on methane. Oh, yeah, right. The science settled on methane. Review unnecessary, according to Watchdog. Parliament's Environment Watchdog says the science of methane is already settled, and the only remaining question are political. Cairns, he's walking without crutches after a stroke. Oh no, he's probably jabbed as well. Former New Zealand cricketer Chris Cairns is now walking without crutches as he continues to recover from a spinal stroke. Following emergency. See, what happens is we're going to hear from a doctor about this morning at 14 minutes past 5. We're going to hear that it's the third booster You can have a couple of boosters and you might be all right. You'll kind of be a wee bit sick. Your body's, your terrain's going to be messed up by these mRNA jabs. But the third one and the fourth one, that really opens you up to your body really going haywire, and you just can't protect yourself against yourself, really. It's the microbes within your body. They start going haywire, and then you're just sick all the time. And the idea for that's all, there's always money behind it, is then you go back to your doctor and then he gives you some more pharmaceutical drugs so that you just remain a sort of a barely functioning invalid for the rest of your life. And you imagine at the end of your life, as some of my friends do, you know, in their 80s, they imagine that it was the pharmaceutical industry that kept them alive for the last 40 years, which is an absolute nonsense. It kept them functioning invalids. Now, or barely functioning, minister accused of misleading the public on gun stats. Oh, we had that yesterday. So that is the news from the Otago Daily Times. We'll move to the press in just a moment. Yeah, that's good. All right, we're over at the press now in Wellington. Redundancy decisions will be held this week at TVNZ and News Hub. Television New Zealand will, that's the staff, will learn their fate on today. And News Hub workers are expected to find out tomorrow. A new ethnic advisory group, confusing and counterproductive. Nuruddin Abdurrahman is pushing to establish an ethnic advisory group for the council, but staff say another advisory group is not sustainable as they look to overhaul the model. And the mayor, Tori Whanau, in Wellington, she's open to hearing of ways to save the Candala swimming pool, but Tori Whanau, she says she cannot make promises, but is open to hearing the locals and what they can do for a low-cost solution to save the much-loved facility. And Jedi assassins and jokers take over the stadium in Wellington. Thousands showed up at the capital for the Armageddon, New Zealand leading sci-fi fantasy event. And tenders closed on the $10 million Wellington property portfolio, and then all of a sudden the liquidators pulled it from the sale. Long-suffering neighbours of the homes, including a crumbling $4 million home in Oriental Bay, thought their nightmare was over until they were yanked from the market. And not 1 cent of my rates, a cathedral rebuild in the balance amid cost blowout. The man who first saved the embattled Christchurch Cathedral says it must be rebuilt, but there appears to be little political way, or will rather, to pay for it. And inside the operation that busted an unprecedented text scam ring, $35,000 worth of SIM cards were found and hardware. They were seized over multiple raids, where it was discovered three international visitors had been at the centre of a sophisticated phishing with a PH phishing scam. And we've got Cultural Bites. This year's TEDx Wellington promises to be a transformative journey that will change the way we think, connect and engage with the world. And there we are. So that's it for news from the Post. We'll be back with one news in just a moment. Just a moment. Oh, you're listening now. Actually, before we do, I want you to hear about that. I want you to hear this. This is about 3 minutes. Have a listen to this, okay?
You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at five.
We are establishing a central process for approving medical exemptions. This new central process is the only valid process through which anyone can obtain an exemption.
Another group of our traumatised members, these are the people who were injured with their first or their second jab. Then they go to see their doctor, and some of them do get a medical exemption from their doctor. So then what happens in our system in New Zealand? That's not the end of the road. Those medical exemptions go up there to Mr. Ashley.
Now, I understand that there are some people who have already been issued paperwork that is intended to be an exemption or an exception. If you have received such paperwork, you will still need to apply through a centralised process.
He gets to look at them and go, oh yeah, right, well, okay, you got a heart attack 3 days after your jab and you got myocarditis and you want an exemption. No, sorry, you don't qualify. Thousands and thousands of my members do not qualify.
Get vaccinated, save lives, be kind.
And the stories, I'm not kidding, heart attacks, strokes, myocarditis, what the hell do you need to happen to you to qualify for a medical exemption?
We have had reports of people aggressively demanding from clinicians vaccination exemptions. No one is entitled to aggressively demand an exemption from the vaccination.
We've got to have those vaccination rates high amongst all our populations across New Zealand.
There is a process that we're putting in place. Everybody who needs an exemption will have.
This is why these guys never got back into Parliament. Bloomfield, he got a knighthood for his vax murdering. But the other one, Hipkins, he's out because they did this bullshit to us.
To follow that same process.
We have paralysis, heart attacks, heart inflammation, strokes.
We've got a really good, really safe vaccine here.
Guillain-Barre bullshit. Syndrome, autoimmune disease, you name it, shingles, Bell's palsy. I could go on and on.
Do you think people with legitimate vaccine injuries should get compensation?
That woman you can hear in the background, that is Linda Wharton. Linda Wharton from, what's it called? She's got a Facebook page. They deleted her Facebook page, started another one. I think she's on Telegram. Linda Wharton, look her up. Her and her team were following up, finding out what was the, you know, what this person did. Were they vaccinated? And it's the figures are unbelievable, way more than what Linda Wharton and her team realise. And we found that out when Barry Young, the senior Minister of Health whistleblower, released some of the data. That's what happened there. We'll go back to the story. Vax murderers.
No.
My petition has hundreds of people who are diagnosed by their cardiologists, by their neurologists.
So no compensation for people who got legitimate vaccine injuries.
And my friend, who is with a cardiologist, he's in his 80s, he had his first heart attack when he was 40. He told me that his cardiologist knows, he said he's inundated with young people with myocarditis and pericarditis, and yet the bastard won't say anything because he's looking after his career. He loves his career and the money and the trips and the cars and the houses and the rental properties. He loves them more than he cares about his own patients and other people out there that are still continuing to jab their children.
Thing additional to what's available for people who are the victims of medical misadventure, there is support through ACC for that now.
And they are turned down for ACC. So no, Chris and Chris, your system is not working for those who are...
They're a pack of lying bastards, aren't they? 22 minutes past five, we're back to this report.
Injured.
Breaking news, whānau, breaking news. We've just gone past 130,000. Come on up.
Coercion.
Come on up.
My son is not alone. He has dozens of friends with heart conditions who are in their 20s.
The coronial inquest into the death of Dunedin man Rory Nairn has concluded. The 26-year-old plumber died of myocarditis 12 days after getting his first COVID jab.
And should Ashley of Bloomfield have got a knighthood? He should be in jail for murdering Rory Nairn.
That's Here's right. The vaccination telethon song. Thank you so much for your vaccinations today.
In jail for murdering Rory Nairn.
Yep, that's right. That's where he should be, in jail for murder. Vax murder. That's what John Ansell calls it. He was one of the first to coin that phrase, vax murderers. Okay, we'll continue with New Zealand news, shall we? Let's do that. We'll do that right after this little message here from former President Nixon. He's no longer with us.
David, you have said it many times when you were President of the United States that no president is ever going to desert Israel, right?
Correct. I put it more bluntly. I said, as I told congressional leaders during the 1973 Yom Kippur War, no American president will let Israel go down the tube.
All right.
Democrat or Republican, it's not an issue.
That is stated fairly categorically, and yet in your book you make it clear at the same time that Israel really is not of any enormous strategic value to the United States anymore.
That's correct.
So why then would the United States continue to burden itself with huge loans, in some cases outright grants, to the Israelis, jeopardize possibly young American fighting men, when there is no strategic value involved, or little strategic value?
Because the United States is concerned by more than strategic values. That's maybe a weakness, but it's the way we are. And there are moral issues involved here. We don't have an alliance with Israel, as you know. They're not an ally of the United States in a technical sense. But we have a bond to Israel that's much stronger. It's a moral commitment. A moral commitment because of what happened during the Holocaust, and a moral commitment because it is a democracy, the only democracy in that area. And under the circumstances, that is why American presidents and the American people in the future will support all out the survival of Israel if it's attacked.
88.1 FM, The Wireless, New Zealand News.
Right, we're back to New Zealand News, and we're looking at One News right now. Let's go to One News. Digger, bring it up.
Okay, I'll bring it up. There we are.
There's an... Oh, gosh. This is the latest, is it? It's an analysis for the latest. They must be not arrived at work this morning. It's time to find the new ways to fund local government. There is a ceiling on rate increases, so it's time to look for alternatives to local government funding, writes Guy C. Charlton. There we are. And the Court of Appeal to hear a gay hate speech discrimination case. Gay theologian. Oh, that's a wheeze I've got, isn't it? That's your smoking, buddy.
No, it's not. It's just because you've got bad terrain. You haven't been eating enough good meat. You need meat, eggs, all the things they say you're not supposed to have, you should be having. Meat, eggs, cheese, milk, yogurt, those sorts of things. They're trying to get rid of it, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Anyway, this homosexual theologian, makes me laugh, Russell Hobart, he is seeking a High Court declaration of inconsistency over hate speech protection for people based on sexual orientation. We're allowed to say what we think about homos. That's not hate speech. We don't hate you. Gosh, of course we don't hate you. Some of my friends used to be one. I've got friends that were homosexuals, and when they became Christians, they thought, shoot, this is no good. It's in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, New Testament. Not supposed to be shagging other men. The average home value sees a modest increase for the first quarter. The March report shows the average home value has increased nationally by 2.2% to $924,734. And talking about figures, yesterday I mentioned immigration figures at 173. I said, oh, it's making a big deal about 173 immigrants came to New Zealand. No, it was 173,000 of the little buggers have come here, and half of them probably can't speak English. Probably a lot more can't speak English. We've got MedSafe. They issued an alert for creams found to contain steroids. Oh, whatever next? Whatever next? Who's checking this stuff? National Cocoa and Doc Oppo brand moisturising cream. That's why I never put anything. You know, in homeopathy, we're taught never put anything on your skin, because your skin is an organ. It's the least of all organs, but it is an organ, and you don't want to put things on it because it's designed by our creator to protect the internal organs. And what happens is it absorbs into the skin. I mean, we know this, don't we? Because they're on the farm. We've got all the neighbours. They're pouring stuff on the cattle through the skin to what they think is parasites that come from outside. I mean, really, they're probably just bad terrain. The terrain, you know, bad food, or that something's gone on. Or the vaccines that they had given the little calves when they were younger, or little lambs, given them some vaccines which weaken the system. Anyway, so this propaganda there from One News. MPs probably deserve pay rise, a former minister says. It's been 6.5 years since MPs got a pay bump. You shouldn't be getting a pay bump because you're docking everybody else, you're firing everyone else. You bastards shouldn't be getting anything more. Hackers dial up data extortion. Email attacks in New Zealand and Australia. One business lost $547,449 in a single transaction. Now, charter school set up board says assessment will be in focus. Charter schools are to be reintroduced to the education system from 2025 after the former government abolished them. That's the Labour Party, the Communists. Now we've got the Fascists in. And a sick Melbourne boy was much worse when let go from hospital. That happens all the time here in New Zealand as well. I know a young boy who had a neck operation, and they let him go, and he had a high temperature. And he had, you know, they didn't clean up the wound properly. That's what happened, because they rely on their antibiotics to do all the to fix things for them, and they don't actually fix things at all. They make things worse. They kill off the good microbes, and they hadn't been clean enough when they were operating on him. and he got an infection and had to go back to another hospital in another part of the country where he's moving to and have that sorted. But boy, it took some pushing. Auckland Eastern Line train suspended. Other operators with delays. A post on X, formerly Twitter, Auckland Transport said scheduled buses are also accepting train tickets to and from all stations today. And Rita Ora debut costume for Descendants. Oh. 33-year-old will play the Queen of Hearts, or she's going to play, rather, the Queen of Hearts in a musical fantasy movie, which will be released on Disney in July. And New Plymouth Zoo otters, they really need a new $1.5 million home, do they? If you asked every child that came into the zoo, what's your favourite animal, I suspect the otters would be a long way down the track? Let's see, I'll just have to click on that wee story. Yeah. New Plymouth ratepayers are being asked to choose between closing the much-loved Brooklyn Zoo or funding up to $9 million in upgrades. The New Plymouth District Council, that's next to Mount Egmont too, by the way. Egmont. The work is required to meet regulatory requirements. But for some, a $1.5 million plus redesign of the otter habitat is a step too far. There we are. So they think it's just going overboard. Now, a Malaysian shoemaker apologises for logo many found offensive. Verne's Holdings said the logo stamped on the soles of some of the high-heeled shoes depicting the silhouette of a stiletto heel. Oh, you buggers, you've got to make me click on it to get the gist of the story. Verne's, that must be a new shoe store, is it? I've never heard of it. Is that in New Zealand? Malaysian shoe company it is. Anyway, Verne's Holdings, they said that the logo stamped on the soles of some high-heeled shoes depicting the silhouette of a stiletto heel with an ankle spiral wrap. It acknowledged, however, that the shortcomings of the design may have led to the logo being misinterpreted. It said it acted immediately to... What's wrong with that? Is that like slavery or something? It acted immediately to... give refunds to customers. There we are. Absolutely no intention of designing a logo aimed at belittling and insulting any religion or belief. Oh, I see. Must be Hindus or something like that. The government has revealed targets, including 50,000 people off benefit by 2020. That's a good thing. You're going to have to make sure that you don't bring in too many people from overseas and take their jobs away from them. That's one good way of getting people off. Reduce the dole. You know, the benefit, and put them to work. Here, our own people. We've got to look after. Charity begins at home. Charter schools, we talked about that. And sought after Winx foal smashes the Australian record at an auction. A foal labelled lot number 391 was snapped up by an eye-watering amount. Let's go over to that because I'm interested in that. I used to train horses for a little while there. Looks a beautiful young foal. The champion racehorse, it's called Winx. It's not a champion racehorse yet. Oh, has smashed the Australian record at the Sydney yearling auction yesterday. The foal labelled lot number 391 was snapped up for an eye-watering $10 million. Just a foal. 10 million Australian, reportedly double the amount of previous sale records. Nine News named Debbie Kipitis of Wappit Bloodstock as the purchaser. The reason behind the record price was clear to see when looking at the pedigree of lot number 391, the mother. According to Winx, she's won the famous Cox Plate at Moonee Valley four times in a row between 2015 and 2018, and the only horse to have ever done so. The previous Australian yearling record sale came in at $5 million, but Nine News reported that the horse was put down in 2013 due to illness following suspected spider bite. Oh, yeah. There's something they've given it. Some pharmaceutical trash that's upset the system. Fares for emergency access in stupidest rail crossing closure. Featherston Fire Chief Colin McKenna, he wrote that the crossing was a major access route for firefighters, so he's upset about that. And a car slams into a barrier at Northern Race. Injuring the mother and daughter. Anita Rossiter said that she felt lucky to be alive after watching video of the crash. Oh, I can remember I barrel rolled my go-kart when I was young at the end of the Mount Wellington racetrack, barrel rolled it, and they said it was the most spectacular crash they'd seen on the track. That was me. And that was when I realised perhaps God's trying to keep me alive, because I did this barrel roll and just the cart landed back up on its wheels again. I clipped another guy's back wheels. We were going around the back, sort of a sweeper, and did a barrel roll, ended up in the grass with the frogs and the crickets. And I think I just bent the steering. And then we just fixed it up in the pits, and then we went in the following race. We missed one race and went in the following race. But after that, I sort of went home and thought about it. I thought, far out, I mean, I could have broken my neck. And so I thought, perhaps God's keeping me alive for a reason. Perhaps I should not be taking my life in my own hands and racing go-karts. This thing, we had a 250 Suzuki hotted up one in it, and it used to do, oh man, I think it would do 125 miles an hour. That's up there, isn't it? That, you know, boy, you think you're absolutely flying. You get out and you just, you know, you're shaking after, you know, it's with excitement after racing that thing. That was a bit of fun. That was something that I did in my early 20s, I think, or late teens. Luxon has to visit Singapore and Thailand, also the Philippines, to deepen SEA ties. The Prime Minister will be joined by a senior business delegation from Sunday, April 14th, through to Saturday, April 20th. A Brazil judge orders investigation of Elon Musk over fake news. Oh, rubbish. Look, here's what I've decided. If the governments of your country are saying, if they're saying they want to get rid of, say, X, or they want to get rid of TikTok, then you should be on it, because that's the free, that will be a free platform, a freedom platform. So you should be on X. I struggle with it and how to use it. And you should be on TikTok, because they want to get rid of it. So anything they want to get rid of, if anything they promote, they do the opposite, because that's what I've found since the COVID pandemic woke me up, that everything the government says is bullshit, and it doesn't matter who's in power, we just keep voting for the same people that keep us enslaved. We should have voted for Liz Gunn and the New Zealand Loyal Party, but we didn't. We lost our marbles. And we allowed that flippin' serial liar, Winston Peters, to take the votes that should have gone to her. Just nutty. Anyway, they're in it for the long haul. You know, it takes a while to get a new party up and running. Now, how to watch upcoming solar eclipse? Oh, so that's, I don't know, are we going to see that here, Digger?
Probably.
Oh, well, we'll have a look at that. Now, police released the name of the man who died in the Southland crash. The crash occurred in the on the evening of April 3rd, around 7 o'clock. Now, his name is, just for those of you that are interested, is, he was only 36, James Burt of Pitaru, South Waikato. The crash occurred on the evening of April 3rd at around 7 p.m. Police extend their condolences to his family and friends at this difficult time. Inquiries into the circumstances of the crash remain ongoing, so... That's interesting. I wonder what happened there. And Reece Walsh on track for a quick recovery from facial fracture. It looks nasty. Walsh did everything with the team at Monday's training to put himself in contention to play at Suncorp Stadium. But he's on his way to recovery, so that's good. And tasered dogs. Calls for vet care after police stun 144 animals. It's stunning. Footage obtained by One News shows officers firing probes into dogs. A family worried about the man missing for a month in Porirua area. Police are appealing to the public for help to find Clive. And a Super Rugby power rating rankings. Chiefs find Spark ahead of the head of Cairns, I think it is. We have a derby match to savour at last when the Hurricanes host Damien McKenzie and company on Saturday. I couldn't even make head or tail of that flipping heading. I wonder if the actual story, oh, it's an analysis. You can go over and have a look at that if you like rugby. Rugby. All Blacks are rugby, aren't they, Digger?
Yes, you should know that.
No, I don't follow rugby. Chasing a ball around the field. Greta Thunberg, she flashes the peace sign as she's hauled away by the police. Just another stunt. Nigerians charged with textortion over Australian boy's death. The boy had been engaged online with a person who threatened to share personal photos of him with his family and friends. Oh, no. More than 90 killed as a boat sinks off Mozambique coast. Passengers on board the boat, they were fleeing the cholera outbreak, apparently. Well, cholera's just, you know, poos everywhere, isn't it? Bad sanitary. I mean, you're going to get problems there, aren't you? That's another fake virus. It's just bad sanitary conditions. That's how they get cholera. Concerns for young woman last seen riding a bike in Auckland. She was seen in the Manga area, but police say that she could be anywhere across Auckland. And an Auckland woman is wanted by police, believed to have her three... What the heck's that? Police have a warrant to arrest her. Oh, gosh. Another Maori that they're after. And really bugs me, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he blasts cancel culture. The 51-year-old star admits that the easy cancel culture in the modern climate prevents people from being authentic. Yes, it does, doesn't it? Devastated Christchurch sculpture stolen from the Port Hills. It doesn't look like much. The sculpture. I don't know why you'd want to steal it. The sculpture weighs about 60 kilograms. So it would have been two of them, I would say. Today's men wouldn't be able to lift 60 kilograms, especially if you're a thief. You just sit around doing nothing, looking for the next person to rob. It was first reported missing on Tuesday last week after the Easter weekend. And the Star Dome is to reopen its telescope a year on from the copper theft. Oh, they've been stealing copper. Mm-hmm. And so that's it there. One person dies in a regular Manukau vehicle crash. When was that? Oh, that was a while ago. Okay, so we're getting to the end of the news. News Hub, what have they got? Job seekers with health conditions or disabilities not exempt from the government's $50,000 beneficiary reduction target. Deliberately geared to punish opposition parties. They slam the government's targets for punching down. Do they? And we've got an update on the weather. Major weather system on the way for New Zealand. Emergency planning underway. And one of them pulled out a knife. Witnesses describe an altercation between the lodge. That's the Parnell Lodge. That's the backpackers. The lodge resident who had an ankle bracelet after the Parnell fire. Yeah, they've got criminals living there. It's supposed to be for backpackers visiting our country. You know, what a terrible thing to have happen. So you've got, you know, say you're from Canada or somewhere, or from, you know, somewhere in Europe, and your young kids are coming to New Zealand, you think it's a safe place. They end up in the flippin' Parnell backpackers with criminals sharing accommodation and maybe even a bedroom, because there's quite a few bunks in these backpackers. You don't often have your own room, and you're sharing it with flipping criminals with ankle bracelets. What the heck's going on? That's got to stop. These people, they should get rid of these ankle bracelet nonsense. If you're going to use ankle bracelets, the way to use those is to have the people with an ankle bracelet, have them at a hard labour camp, say somewhere like the Desert Road or Mackenzie Country, and have them working, smashing up rocks, you know, getting ready for the masons to be able to use them and build them into something, you know, nice walls and roadways and, you know, curbs and that sort of thing. Have them doing that, and they wear their ankle bracelet. Then you need some men on horseback, the guards, the prison guards. They need shotguns, Mossbergs probably. You need more than six shots too, five shots up and one up the spout. Need a few more than that. And just with birdshot, and just pepper the buggers if they try and run away. If they go outside the area, they just get peppered, shoot on sight. And hard labour, that's the only time you should ever wear an ankle bracelet. It shouldn't be allowed to wander around free. I see them wandering around in towns with flipping ankle bracelets on. We don't want criminals out in our society. They should be not at home with an ankle bracelet or going shopping or going to protests and stuff. No, they should be doing hard labour. And then they won't want to go to jail. But too many of them think it's just a soft... We're just soft on Maoris, really, because they're all Maori. Most of them are Maoris. Everyone I've seen with an ankle brace has been a Maori. So what's going on with Maoridom? Why don't you, elders, why don't you start teaching them properly? Why don't you start inspiring them to make it in the civilised world instead of being a flippin' outlaw and having a chip on your shoulder and whining about everything? Well, you're whining this morning. Oh, well, I know, but it's a good whine. Speaking of wine, I don't drink wine anymore.
I know, it's a good thing, eh? You get out of bed in the morning, eh, when you don't drink wine.
That's right. a wine head. Yeah, no, wine is a real, it slows you down, eh? It's bad enough breathing your tobacco.
Yeah, she, I'm going to light one up.
All right, well, you do that. You go outside in the cold and do it. Don't do it in here. Okay, just your breath is bad enough, Digger. Honestly. Good grief, I have to get you something for that. Now, we're over at Radio New Zealand now. You'll find them at rnz.co.nz. Oh, and don't let me forget, too, I better not muck around. I'm sort of pissing about this morning a wee bit. But I want to hear from Dr. Sam Bailey, and we're also going to hear from another doctor as well, Dr. Guy Hatchard. He's got a report out. So yesterday, Digger, you sent an email off the day before. You sent one off to Dr. Sam Bailey about viruses and stuff like that. What was the outcome on that, mate?
Well, she responded nicely. She's a very nice lady, and she sent me a link to a video that we can play about antibiotics, I think it is. Let me have a look. I'll just tell you what that one's about. Now, where did she send it? Dr. Sam. But there she is, Dr. Sam. She said, "Dear Digger, thank you for your email and for your help promoting our work. It really makes a difference for us. I've been sent this article from many people, including the first overseas reports." That's the one of, what was that? Viruses. What was that one about? Oh, I can't remember. Something, you know, some rubbish. Anyway, she said, "I actually made a video of avian flu." Oh, there we are. Avian flu last year. And if you want to take a look, have a look at that. So we've got that one, have we, Digger? Yes. We'll play that right now, shall we? We've had enough of news. It's all bad news, isn't it? So we're over it now, and we're over listening to Dr. Sam Bailey. You'll find her at drsambailey.com. And she says the so-called avian flu is being used as an excuse to cull hundreds of millions of birds, and it may be a surprise to some people that this is essentially a reboot of a narrative that was first tested two decades ago. In 2005, a publication blew apart the fraudulent science behind the invent. To invent a non-existent pandemic. So let's have a look at that. This is the avian flu. We'll play that now. It's a bit slow.
It's hard not to notice that the war on birds is ramping up. Late last year, there were egg shortages in the United Kingdom, and then just last month, the egg shortages suddenly hit New Zealand. This coincides with increasingly obvious globalist agendas that aim to remove poultry and eggs from our diets. As I discussed in my video, Should You Eat Bugs?, Guardian columnist George Monbiot claimed in July 2022 that eating meat, milk and eggs is an indulgence we cannot afford. Trying to make people feel guilty about consuming these things under the farcical climate catastrophe narrative is one of their strategies. However, there has been another narrative that has been building in the background for the past two decades, and it has been used as the excuse to cull hundreds of millions of birds, the so-called avian flu. Let's have a look at the ignored paper that blew apart the entire narrative in 2005 by exposing the scientific fraud that the whole story is built upon. We called Chapter 7 of Virus Mania, Avian Flu and Not a Glimmer of Proof, and opened with the following paragraph. According to media reports in 2005, the world was threatened by a pandemic, triggered by a mutation of an avian flu virus with the mysterious and ominous-sounding name H5N1. In the weekly newspaper, Die Zeit, in late summer 2005, we shuddered to read the front-page headline, "Death on Silent Wings. The bird flu is approaching," and as if the point was to create the title for the sequel to the Hollywood shocker Outbreak, in which actor Dustin Hoffman is on the hunt for a deadly virus, H5N1 plays Blitzkrieg, Lightning War, impending attack of the killer ducks. Der Spiegel quoted David Nabarro, named the UN chief coordinator in the battle against avian flu in September 2005. "A new flu pandemic can break out at any moment, and it can kill up to 150 million people." Reinhard Kurth, then director of Berlin's Robert Koch Institute, didn't want to be outdone by Nabarro, and in an interview with the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, He warned that an epidemic potentially threatens all 6 billion people. These were preposterous claims, even for people who think that pathogenic viruses exist. Nothing of the sort eventuated, of course, but like other scandemics such as swine flu and SARS-1, it was building up to the greatest fraud of all, COVID-19. None of these required the existence of an actual virus. They simply relied on marketing campaigns, whether it came from big pharma, mainstream media, or government-funded institutions. During the COVID era, the virus gaslighting has been in full swing, with the plot lines including Chinese bat caves, Wuhan wet markets, lab leaks, gain of function, and most recently, Project Veritas helping promote the term directed evolution. These are all variations of an overriding theme, that viruses are everywhere, poised to spring out and attack people and animals at any moment. In 2005, the avian flu narrative didn't gain much traction, but after the apparent success of the COVID-19 fraud, a bird flu rerun is now in pre-production. In fact, the early advertising started around October 2021, when people were immersed in the COVID-19 show. But now the wider media are running stories about avian flu, designed to ramp up the fear once again. For example, this headline appeared on the Edinburgh Live platform on the 2nd of February, "Avian flu spreading to mammals, but what does that mean about the risk to humans?" They reported that the avian influenza, also known as bird flu, has now mutated into a virus that infects animals other than birds. Now public health bosses have issued a warning that this mutation could even jump to humans, reports Glasgow Live. Although it is portraying this as a news story, you will notice that it is essentially a reboot of the 2005 news stories that we mentioned in Virus Mania. You can watch my video, Secrets of Influenza, to see why there is no scientific evidence that influenza is a contagious illness, let alone one that is caused by an imagined virus. And with regard to the so-called avian flu, perhaps the most damning paper exposing the anti-science was published by David Crowe and Torsten Engelbrecht in Medical Hypothesis in December 2005. They documented the four questions they put to the Frederick Loeffler Institute and the information they received in response. Question 1. Does H5N1 exist? The FLI claimed that the H5N1 Asia virus can be produced completely in vitro by using reverse genetics. However, Crowe and Engelbrecht pointed out that the supplied paper did not detail how the claimed original, quote, stock virus was determined. Robert Webster, one of the paper's authors, responded that stock viruses are classified as select agents and we are not at liberty to release this information. In other words, he knew he had been caught without evidence of a virus in their stock. Otherwise, why not divulge this crucial piece of information? Anyway, we know from the dozens of similar papers we have analysed that they simply have mixed tissue samples. At no stage do they demonstrate an infectious particle, let alone show a methodology that determines specific genetic sequences that come from the claimed particle. Question 2. Is it pathogenic to animals? The FLI provided three papers which it claimed demonstrated pathogenicity. None of the methodologies in any of these papers were sufficient to show the existence of a replication-competent intracellular parasite. They simply asserted that their manufactured brews contain such particles. And as is always the case, no virus particles could be found in any of the animals. But even allowing for this, all were performed in an unscientific manner, as we can see. The first study involved delivering a highly concentrated embryonated chicken egg culture into four-week-old ducks, including directly injecting the material into their lungs. Some of the ducks subsequently died, including a few of the ducks cohabitating the cages. They claimed the imagined virus was responsible, but it was not performed in a blinded fashion and there were no control experiments. In other words, it was a senseless activity, exposing them to mixed biological samples which didn't follow the scientific method. The second study involved Madden Derby canine kidney tissue cultures that were injected up the noses of mice, knocked out first with a general anesthetic. As we have come to expect, they were not normal mice, but highly inbred BALBC mice. While this procedure killed a few mice, once again, there was not a control experiment in sight, and thus no demonstration of an independent variable. The third study used the claimed reverse genetic reassortant viruses, the problem with which Crow and Engelbrecht had pointed out being that the paper's co-author was unwilling to disclose how he had established his original stock contained a virus. He just expected us to believe that it did, as well as the claim that the selected genetic sequences were viral. In any case, the derived brew was injected intravenously into six-week-old chicks to see if it would make them sick. This is obviously not a natural exposure route, and it was further disqualified from the scientific method by once again not including any control experiments. Question 3. Is it transmissible and pathogenic to humans, and does it have pandemic potential? For this, I can simply quote Crow and Engelbrecht, who stated, "The Emerging Infectious Diseases paper is an anecdotal report of a six-year-old boy from Thailand with severe multi-organ disease. No evidence was given for transmissibility to humans. The scientists found evidence of aspergillosis, and the boy was treated with toxic agents, broad-spectrum antimicrobial and antivirals, before he died." Subfarrell et al., referenced by the EID paper, describes a previously healthy three-year-old Hong Kong boy who developed flu-like symptoms in May 9, 1997 and was treated with broad-spectrum antibiotics and salicylic acid, though this is commonly contraindicated. He developed Reye's syndrome and died 11 days later. In other words, the most likely explanation is that he was killed by a reaction to aspirin. Question 4. Have other causes for observed disease been studied? As stated by Crow and Engelbrecht, neither the Subvarel et al. Study nor the FLI references consider reasonable competing theories for disease causation, e.g. environmental and pharmaceutical factors. The conclusion: our analysis shows the papers do not satisfy our four basic questions. It should be more than evident that if these claimed pivotal avian flu studies do not follow the scientific method and are based on methodologies that are insufficient to demonstrate the existence of viruses, then the claim of a viral avian flu should be rejected outright. There does not need to be debates about how to manage an entity that does not exist. We can see, however, that the confusion is poured on when the Edinburgh Live article goes on to state that the BBC have released figures that show the virus has led to the death of 208 million birds worldwide, with at least 200 recorded cases in mammals. First of all, their reference for this is another news article titled "East Lothian Bird Flu Fears is Up to 40 Dead Gannets Washed Up on Beaches." The story continued, "Although no tests have confirmed the latest incident was caused by avian influenza, Scottish ecologist and wildlife photographer Peter Stronach has been sharing photos and videos of sick or dead birds exhibiting symptoms of the avian disease on Twitter." As we pointed out in Virus Mania, this kind of nonsense was being promulgated 2 decades ago. Find some sick or dead birds and blame it on avian flu. Sometimes they quote test some of the birds for the imagined virus, and of course, if even one result is positive, then they consider their investigations to be conclusive. This adds another layer of confusion when it is believed that these tests have any form of diagnostic validity. The kits come in various forms, whether they are antigen assays, antibody assays, or PCR protocols. As we have detailed in many videos and articles analysing these kits with regard to other alleged viral illnesses, none of them require the existence of viruses. They all involve circular reasoning with the fallacy that the selected proteins and sequences are viral in nature, therefore detecting them means there is a virus. So when they make claims such as the sensitivity is over 95% and the specificity is over 95%, this refers only to analytical parameters. In other words, its ability to detect the particular sequences or proteins selected by the operator, rather than non-specific targets. But detecting proteins or sequences is a chemical reaction that is not the same as diagnosing a quote virus or infection. A quick search did find a recent article by the BBC making the claim about the 208 million dead birds. However, further through the article, it states that almost 15 million domestic birds, including poultry, have died from the disease, and more than 193 million more have been culled. So even on their own terms, the vast majority of the dead birds were actually chickens that were intentionally killed. Mike Adams reported on this in December last year, noting that millions of chickens and turkeys were being culled in North America and other regions. As he stated, more than 40 million egg-laying chickens have died in the current outbreak, according to USDA data. Importantly, it doesn't say they died from avian influenza. They died from being culled. Stated another way, the reason why so many birds are dead during an outbreak is because farmers are being ordered by health authorities to kill them. Now, while I disagree with the analysis that a pathogen exists at all for the reasons that I've outlined, I agree with Mike's conclusion that it is a cover story to achieve depopulation of food-producing chickens, worsening food scarcity and food inflation at the same time. And if you are wondering how they kill birds in these astronomical numbers, it is often done by ventilation shutdowns, in which the air supply is cut off from the birds, the temperature of the building is raised, carbon dioxide may be pumped in, and the animals gradually overheat and suffocate. In the larger facilities, it is reported that disposing of the bodies may take weeks. I am not a supporter of factory-farmed chickens, but this kind of activity slumps to all new lows. Mike also hits the nail on the head, noting that after more than a decade, his backyard chickens are unvaccinated and free-range, and they aren't dying from avian influenza. In Virus Mania, we also document why you don't need an imagined virus to make factory-farmed chickens sick, because there are numerous reasons, including heavy psychological stress resulting from extremely close crowding in the cages and mass stabling with no natural sunlight. Denatured industrial feed, including already spoiled feed. Distortion of animal bodies as a result of overbreeding for certain desired physical characteristics. Preventative administration of all sorts of medications, antibiotics, vaccines, etc., that may induce severe side effects even to chicks. Additionally, flocks of birds can be found dead in the wild from a variety of causes, often because of ingesting toxins. However, whenever sick or dead birds are found in farms or in the wild today, the virus hunters apply their bogus test kits and, based on the detection of certain proteins or genetic sequences, claim that a virus is at work. The solution is then declared to be the mass slaughter of all birds in the area or facility, which is how they report their ludicrous, quote, case numbers. Most of these birds are, of course, completely well. It is as senseless as the incineration of over a million cows, which took place in the UK in the 1990s for alleged mad cow disease, another false epidemic based on pseudoscientific claims. We dedicated another chapter of Virus Mania to exposing how prions have never been shown to be the cause of disease and how Stanley Prusiner's speculative prion model was awarded with a Nobel Prize in 1997, right around the time the cattle slaughter was in full swing. It is likely that we will see a ramping up of the bird flu narrative in 2023, and this article on the BBC platform in early February contains the expected fear. Claims that this photo of a dead gannet can only be explained by a deadly virus, that it is killing hundreds of millions of birds, that it is jumping species, that it is leading to egg shortages, and the punchline. The World Health Organization says the further spread of the H5N1 virus will have to be monitored closely to see whether it is mutating into a form which can spread amongst humans. So, what can we do aside from ignore the nonsense? If possible, people should get their own chickens. Our family will be taking the Mike Adams approach in securing our own homegrown eggs and poultry. And while this is not practical for everyone, those who don't have their own chickens could look to support their local organic suppliers. It would not be a surprise to see attempts to ban homegrown chickens in the future, but this will be much more difficult if it becomes a more widespread activity. The story will be sold as the birds being biohazards, harbouring viruses that could trigger a pandemic at any moment. In the meantime, it is much more difficult for them to control the food supplies if we take steps to be more self-sufficient and work in decentralised systems. The avian flu will be used as another excuse for imposing this sinister biosecurity surveillance state. That is why exposing the non-existence of pathogenic viruses is so important. All of these fake narratives will come crashing down, whether they involve alleged human or animal contagion. Those taking part in mass culling, the mass distribution of vaccines and pharmaceuticals, and other, quote, public health rituals, are the real plague. They are destroying food supplies, desecrating the earth, and creating an epidemic of fear. The best thing we can do is move away from their madness and bring our deserved prosperity back to this beautiful kingdom.
Fabulous.
If you enjoyed this video, please visit support.drsam.com.
There we are, support.drsam.com or drsambailey.com. And she's got a host of videos that you can watch and really bring yourself up to date with the scam of pandemics. And it's just a way for the wealthy pharmaceutical industry to make more money from us by keeping us in fear.